Josefina Guerrero was only 24 years old when Japan occupied the Philippines in World War II. Like many young people back then, she was eager to join the resistance and help in whatever way to fight against the Japanese. She reached out to many people, asking for any contact of the secretive Filipino resistance. Her efforts bore fruit when she finally got in touch with a member and she joined the Filipino resistance as a spy. As a spy, she was very good at her job. She successfully transmitted secret messages, information, weapons, vital supplies to the Filipino resistance. Her tasks later escalated to mapping out Japanese gun emplacements and fortifications. Her most dangerous mission was to bring a map of Japanese minefields to American headquarters 56 kilometers away. This map would prove vital to ensure that the American forces safely arrive at Manila to retake the capital from the Japanese. You may ask, what made Josefina Guerrero so effective? Was she good at martial arts? Does she have a specific set of skills to come and handle Japanese soldiers? She was very effective in going through enemy lines and going through soldiers undetected because she had leprosy. She was a leper. The Japanese normally conducted full body searches of all Filipinos, but they left Josefina Guerrero alone upon seeing leprosy on her skin. Guerrero's condition became the unexpected path that helped save lives and helped gain the freedom of our nation. Likewise, in our passage today, we will also talk about lepers. But it is my prayer that their story and their encounter with Jesus would also bring salvation and freedom for us today. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your name. We magnify your name. All glory belongs to you. Lord, thank you for this wonderful time to celebrate your faithfulness for 17 years in this church. I pray, Lord, tonight, as your word is preached, you will be the center of it all. Cover me with your most precious blood. Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. Anoint your servant. Holy Spirit, help us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today I have entitled our sermon, He Has Made Me Whole. He has made me whole. And we will be looking at Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. So while you are going through the scriptures, this passage was actually assigned to us by Pastor TJ in one of our preaching modules. And Pastor TJ taught us how to properly prepare and deliver sermons. So Pastor TJ, thank you for discipling us in this aspect. Among the four Gospels, the book of Luke is unique in several ways. One, Luke is actually a Gentile. That would make him holding the title as the only Gentile to author any books of Scripture. And he wrote two, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. As a Gentile, we see Luke's theme that salvation extends even beyond the nation of Israel, even beyond the people of the Jews. Second, I want us to remember that Luke was also a physician by profession. Paul referred to Luke as a physician in his closing remarks in the book of Colossians. And given his profession as a doctor, you would see Luke's special emphasis on medical phenomena. He records many stories of Jesus' healing ministry and presents them in more detail versus the other Gospels. And three, I want us to know that when Luke wrote the Gospel and the book of Acts, he was writing to a fellow named Theophilus. Theophilus was a Roman official and could be he was noble or someone of high rank. And Luke wanted Theophilus to be certain, to be sure of all the teachings that he has been given about Jesus Christ and his faith. So Luke was a Gentile, a doctor, and he wrote the gospel for a guy named Theophilus. I want us to bear these things in mind as we go through our passage today. Let's start with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, meaning Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. The Bible tells us that there is a long-standing hostile relationship between the Jews and Samaritans. The Jews and Samaritans were bitter rivals. Now, in their rivalry, the Samaritans were discriminated against because the Jews view the Samaritans as heretics. They worship God differently. An example is that the Samaritans only considered the first five books of the Bible as scripture, while the Jews includes the prophets, the Psalms. The Samaritans worship in Mount Gerizim, while the Jews worship in Jerusalem. The Samaritans over hundreds of years also intermarried with Gentiles, which added to the discrimination. So because of this, the Jews hated the Samaritans and vice versa. It was so hostile that to travel from Judea to Galilee and back, Jews were willing to go through a longer route around Samaria. Yang likayan ang Samaria instead of going through it. For us to appreciate this, the Jews were willing to take the 5 to 6 day walk, the green and the blue. Is that blue? It's green. Green and red. The green and red, instead of going through the white route going through, which only takes 3 days, they were willing to go through almost a week of travel. And this has been the norm for many years. In our verse today, Jesus broke the norm. He went directly through Samaria. So as Jesus was passing along Samaria, verse 12, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now, dili ko doctor, but a quick chat with my brother and a few readings show us that leprosy is a type of contagious disease. It's a disease that is caused by a bacteria that affects the skin and its peripheral nerves. This is a terrible disease to have. Symptoms include skin patches, loss of sensation, muscle weakness, coarseness, weakness of voice, murag na kay sore throat, and paralysis. If left untreated, this can cause permanent disabilities such as loss of fingers, toes, or even limbs. Dr. Paul Brand, a leading expert and researcher on the disease, established that what made the disease so terrible is not because of the bacteria itself, but because of the bacteria causing nerve damage brought about by this bacteria. Meaning, because of the damaged nerves, lepers lose a key aspect of human survival, the sensation of pain. This then led to unnoticeable injuries, which resulted to tissue damage and infection. Basically, people destroy themselves bit by bit, slowly, limb by limb. Dr. Paul Brand observes lepers, people with leprosy shoveling, not noticing a protruding nail penetrating through their hands. People with leprosy unknowingly handling extremely hot items, already burning their hands. There was one instance where Dr. Brand had trouble twisting a key from a rusted padlock to open a room. Then suddenly an underweight, malnourished, 10-year-old leprous patient approached and offered to help Dr. Brand. With ease, this young patient turned the stuck key and latched open the rusty padlock. The doctor was shocked by the strength of this 10-year-old patient, only to realize drops of blood on the floor. When he checked the boy's hands, he saw his fingers torn, torn skin, open muscle, and bone was seen. Yet the boy was smiling and totally unaware of it. Back in Jesus' day, leprosy was incurable. The best treatment was quarantine. And delay 7 to 14 days like COVID-19, guys. This is a lifetime of quarantine. You're removed from your community, your wife, your family, your friends. In your passage, we see that they are isolated in a far-flung village. So someone having this disease was desperate and without hope. And from a distance, the lepers lifted up their weak and coarse voice to Jesus. Verse 13, and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Notice the lepers mentioned Jesus' name, who is just approaching the village. I want us to remember that at this time, Jesus was rising in popularity. What Jesus did in Galilee, in Judea, in Samaria, were things that the world had never seen before. The deaf hear, the lame walk, raising people from the dead. And Luke, being a doctor, records these medical miracles. In fact, 12 chapters earlier in Luke 5, Jesus already healed a man full of leprosy. He stretched out his hand and touched this leper, and he was instantly cleansed and healed on the spot. Guys, in Old Testament law, when you touch a leper, you are the one who becomes unclean, but not for Jesus. No uncleanness can come to Jesus, but instead, cleansing came to the leper. So of course, the 10 lepers, nakadungog sila ani, na viral good si Jesus Christ. So, for many months, they prayed for this Jesus person to come by. Every day, they prayed. And finally, from a distance, the answer to their desperate prayer is closely approaching. And they cried with their weak and coarse voice, Jesus, have mercy on us. What was Jesus' response? When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. To the priests. Is Jesus giving poor and dangerous medical advice? The answer is no. Jesus is giving sound Old Testament law. Jesus was obeying and fulfilling the law. Go and show yourselves to the priests. The Old Testament law gives instructions on the treatment of anyone with any skin disease, which includes leprosy. This is found in Leviticus 13 and 14. Both chapters discuss instructions from diagnosis and handling to restoration and purification. In the case of our passage, the law states that in case a leper shows signs of improvement, they are required to be examined by the priest to be certified as healed or clean. So heal first, then go to the priest. But what do we notice? Were they healed? Not yet. I can only imagine the lepers. Wait, Jesus, go and show myself to the priest. Lord, I saw in Facebook that you healed that guy in Luke 5. You touched him first. What about us? Tell us to go there immediately? But because we see their desperation, in faith, they took Jesus at his word without question and went on their way. So what happens next? We will see the amazing power of Jesus. Verse 14b, and as they went, they were cleansed. Now Jesus healed in many different ways, by touch, by word, by prayer, by response of faith. Naka long distance healing po si Jesus. Even in creative acts like forming mud and healing this person using this mud. Now in our passage, it is a command which caused a group healing. I can imagine they were walking, their friends finally from 7 fingers, nahimo ng 10 fingers, their toes from 6 to 10, all their sores are gone, their wounds patched up. Upon obedience to Jesus' command to show themselves to the priest, they didn't even have to reach the priest. They were cleansed. The moment the 10 lepers were healed, verse 15 tells us an interesting occurrence. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now the text obviously does not tell us what the other 9 felt. It's entirely possible they were thrilled, relieved, and deeply grateful that finally, after many years of suffering, they were healed. I mean, kinsay dili. They may have hurried to the priest in obedience to Jesus, eager to be declared clean and go on finally with their lives. But Luke here is more interested to show us the response of this one leper. He returned, and his response shows a special kind of thanksgiving. This leper, instead of hurrying to claim the results of the blessing of healing, hurried back to the source of the healing. He turned back, praising God with a loud, fresh, new voice, and fell at at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. This leper's thanksgiving manifests itself as a special kind of thanksgiving that not only focuses on the object, but is so expressed visibly, praising God with a new voice, falling at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now you would think that this is the end of the story, but Luke reveals to us another interesting detail. Verse 16b. Now he was a Samaritan. We just mentioned earlier that the Jews and Samaritan hated each other, that there are years of existing animosity and hostility. Here is someone who is already a social outcast because of his condition, and now showing us that he is also a religious outcast. The other 9 were presumably all Jewish and continued on their way to the priests, but the Samaritan realized that he has met someone greater than any priest. He has met a teacher who displays God's power. So as a result, this double outcast is now here on the foot of Jesus, praising him, giving thanks. The Samaritan in a posture of worship towards the living God. In line with Luke's theme, showing to us that the Messiah, that the mission of the Messiah reaches beyond the people of Israel, this moment also shows a striking contrast. The only one who returns is a Samaritan. The nine who were presumed to be Jews and supposed to know better do not. So seeing this outcast, this Samaritan at his feet, Jesus asks, verse 17, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Now, Jesus, being the creator of all, was not having difficulty with math here. When he asks these questions, this never implies ignorance. The question is for the benefit of the disciples with him and also us right now. With Jesus' observation, he wants us to capture that the result of the Samaritan's actions. Verse 19, and he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Showing to the disciples and us that Jesus does something that is far greater than physical healing. Jesus declares this Samaritan that his faith has saved him. The Greek word used here is "made you well," which is a holistic type of healing. It was a complete kind of healing that goes beyond the physical. It is a healing that is also spiritual in nature. The 10 lepers were physically healed, but only one leper received healing beyond the physical. His faith has saved him and made him whole. So after witnessing this great moment where Jesus not only heals but saves, we must now pause and ask, what does this mean for me today? Luke never records these stories for information alone. He writes them for us to be certain, to be sure, that we may have certainty concerning the things that we have been taught. And this assurance should deepen what the Bible teaches about us and about the character of Christ. With that in mind, let's consider these three certainties we can take home from this passage. So first, we can be certain of Jesus' compassion. As you read the book of Luke, we can see a recurring theme. Luke, being a Gentile himself, shows us Jesus' compassion to the marginalized. That Jesus is close to the outcasts. He goes to people who are suffering and hurting. Jesus intentionally goes out of the cultural norm and reaches out to the rejects of the society, wherever they are. So timely that Pastor Arfel mentioned this verse, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. For the lepers, before they met Jesus, they were in a position of desperation. Their hearts were broken to being isolated from family and loved ones. Their spirits were crushed at the thought of being at the end of their rope. Yet Jesus went out of his way and showed compassion. I know most of us have not experienced this terrible disease, and I pray that we don't have to. But what if I tell you that all of us have leprosy? A different kind of leprosy, not physical, but spiritual. Scholars across history have always seen leprosy as an illustration of sin. Like leprosy, sin makes us unclean. Isaiah 64 says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." like leprosy, sin makes us ignorant of our condition. Like the 10-year-old leprosy patient who was ignorant that he has already severely injured his hand. We too, in our sin, are ignorant of the dangers and damages of sin. Ephesians 4 says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. Like leprosy, if untreated, is destructive and can cause death. Sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And finally, like leprosy, sin separates us from God. Like the lepers, we are all outcasts. Isaiah 59 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The Bible says that we are all sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God. None is righteous. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned away. We have become worthless. No one does good. Even our righteous works are filthy rags in his sight. We are no different than these outcasts. Friends, just like those lepers, we too stand before Jesus without hope. We have a condition we can never fix on our own. Sin has made us unclean, unaware, certain of death, and separated from God. But this is exactly where Jesus' compassion shines the brightest. He does not wait for the lepers to clean themselves. He does not demand that they fix their condition. He meets them in it. He hears their cry. He moves toward their suffering. And this is the same compassion that he shows to us. Before we even called out for mercy, mercy was already walking our way. Once we realize that even in our state of spiritual leprosy, we have a God that is not repelled by it. When uncleanness touches someone, that person becomes unclean, but not for Jesus. He makes us clean. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. There is no amount of uncleanness and sin that can withhold the compassion of Jesus, so we can be certain of Jesus' compassion. Next, our story makes us certain of Jesus' power. It was only in the 80s that a treatment that can fully cure leprosy was made and developed. But even so, this will still require 1 to 2 years of constant treatment, especially for severe cases. In our story, Jesus cured leprosy in almost an instant. No fanfare, no thunderous display in the sky, no choir like earlier. Jesus healed not 1, 2, or 3, but 10. Lepers. It was an instant and complete healing. Friends, this shows the amazing power of Jesus over the body and disease. It is easy to be amazed by this miracle, but I want us to remember that when Jesus does these miracles, it's not his main mission. Though he did do a lot, as stated by John, na din naman ego ang book of John sa tanan miracles ni Christ. Even if it is that many, these miracles and displays of his power are simply a means to an end. In Luke 4, Jesus was at a synagogue in Nazareth when he reads the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It reads, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty of those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then after reading it, Jesus then said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus' power is to serve as proof of His main mission, which is to bring good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to set free captives, to proclaim the Lord's favor, to comfort those who are mourning. Jesus' display of His power is for us to see that He is indeed the Messiah that was prophesied hundreds of years before. His healing was a sign that the one Isaiah spoke about. So when Jesus miraculously healed, it is to point out that instead of going to the priest, we are to go to the great high priest. The same Jesus who shows compassion to the outcasts now show His power. His power proves that He is not just kind, but King. His power is proof of His person. The powerful Messiah who comes to take away the sins of the world, and the great High Priest who cleanses us. Now that we are certain of His compassion and His power, this then should lead us to be certain of His worth. The Samaritan in our story shows us the right response to the compassion and power of Jesus. We don't know if this Samaritan had deep Old Testament theology knowledge, but what we do know is the moment he was healed, the Samaritan knew it was more worthwhile to go back to the healer than to enjoy the healing. As I reflected on this part of the message, I am confronted by an uncomfortable realization. If I were one of the lepers, for sure I will be one of the nine. Because I am the type na always gadali. Always in a hurry. Ask my wife. This is one of the small things that sometimes causes friction between us. Simple example. Almost every day, especially after a long day at work, the moment I open the door of my house, my mind immediately shifts to chores mode. Clean up after the dogs, mop the floor, prepare their food, take Thor out for his number two. Everything that needs to get done. And in my mind, the logic is simple. The sooner I finish all my chores, the sooner I can finally rest. But Claire is different. When she opens the door, the first thing she does is kneel down, welcome the dogs, give them attention, pet them, play with them. Now don't get me wrong, Claire also helps out with the chores. But at this moment, she delays this. She slows down and enjoys the moment. And there I am, rushing through the chores, number one, number two, number three, glancing at her and slowly beginning to grumble in my heart. Sama na, uy, if maguna taana, mas dalita na ta, mas madugay ta, mas dalita mahuman if we do this first. The more I dwell in that frustration, the more I'm tempted I am to say things that hurt her, which eventually leads to these small disagreements that all couples know so well. But every time we sit down and talk it out, Claire reminds me gently, what is more important? Are a few minutes with family not worth delaying the chores? And she's right. I get so focused on what needs to be done that I miss who matters more. Studying this passage hit me the same way. Like me with my chores, 9 of the lepers rushed towards the good thing, towards the destination, towards the priest, towards what they thought mattered most. But the Samaritan leper stopped. He paused. He turned around. He realized that what was truly important was not the blessing of regaining his family, his friends, and life, but the one who blessed him. The Samaritan leper saw Jesus Christ as worthwhile of the delay. Not only did the Samaritan see Jesus worthy of the delay, the Samaritan saw Jesus worthy to use his newly healed voice to praise God. The Samaritan saw Jesus worthy to have his face fall on the feet of Jesus and thank him for what he has done. Friends, Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy of your praise now and every second of your lives. Jesus is worthy that we fall at his feet and thank him for saving us from our spiritual leprosy. From spiritual outcasts separated from God, we have become his adopted sons and daughters, co-heirs with Christ. He has washed away our sins by his blood and made us clean. By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we may become the righteousness of God, not because of anything we have done, but because of his grace. Paul Washer rightly says, Christ is worthy of all your devotion, not your leftovers. Friends, it is unthinkable to say that Jesus deserves the second place of your lives. After all that he has done, it is unthinkable that we give Jesus the leftovers of our time, of our talents, of our treasures. Friends, far be it from us to think that Jesus would come second to our spouse, to our kids, to our work, to our business, to our ministry. It is my prayer that we not go the way of the 9 who were eager to go first to the priests to regain their earthly life, yet forfeit eternal life from the great high priest. When we see Jesus' worth, this then should lead us to thanksgiving and worship. This then is how we are made whole. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, Luke has shown us that we can be certain of his compassion, of his power. And because of this, we can be certain of Jesus' worth. This weekend marks our church's 17th anniversary. As in past years, we celebrated God's faithfulness and goodness to our church through a Thanksgiving dinner. But the last few months, as we all know, have been difficult for our community. In just 3 months, we experienced a powerful earthquake, several storms causing widespread loss of life, property, and livelihoods. The pastors and deacons saw it fit to forego this year's Thanksgiving dinner and realign its budget for relief efforts. By the way, thank you to all the generous givers and all our volunteers. May God bless you. But if we are to be honest, I won't blame you if you don't feel thankful. How can we be thankful when our neighbors lost homes and belongings they worked for years and lost in a single day? How can we praise God when our friends were badly hurt or even lost loved ones? How can we be in an attitude of worship when many are still suffering even after these calamities? But praise the Lord, we can still celebrate God's faithfulness and be thankful for what he's done, because the story of the lepers is not just about 10 men losing a disease. It is about one man finding a Savior. It is not just about healing, but about wholeness. Not about blessing, but about adoration. Not about what Jesus gives, but who Jesus is. The story is not about the sad reality of our fallen world. Regardless if it is disease or disaster, it is the assurance that Jesus has come to proclaim good news that this fallen world will soon pass away and soon He will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. This is our hope. Let me read this promise. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. And neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is more than enough reason to still celebrate Jesus, to express our thanksgiving and give glory to His name. Like Josefina Guerrero, I hope that the Samaritan leper in our passage today helped us see the source of our salvation, which results in freedom from our desperate spiritual condition. And it is in the name of Jesus that our hope becomes certain. His compassion delivered us from our desperation. His power proves His person. His worthiness demands our worship. 9 men walked away with restored skin. 1 man walked away with a redeemed soul. Which one will we be? Friends, may we be like the Samaritan who returns, who falls at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving and praise, who see Jesus as worthy and be amazed at how He can make you whole. Let's pray.